Hello again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. Also, don't forget to share. If you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. It's been a very, very, very long time since I have recorded a podcast episode. And I really appreciate every one of you guys for your patience. I have just been crazy busy. It has been so busy. But I am planning a wedding for those of you who do know me and follow my show. I've been planning a wedding and everything like that. So it's just been very hectic and very demanding on my time. Plus, I've been working a lot, putting in some long days because I just got promoted. So life has been blessed and very busy. Well, this is a topic I wanted to discuss. It kind of hits close to home considering the fact that some of my uncles and aunts were involved with the Black Panther Party back in the 60s and 70s. And many of my family members are pastors from various denominations. And my mother is a very, very influential civil rights activist right now in Sacramento, California. And so, you know, fighting for civil rights has always been a big part of my family's legacy. And I take it seriously. So when I've been seeing some of the things going on right now, I've been really wanting to talk about this for a while. But I'm just now getting the opportunity to do it. I finally was able to get off work early enough so I can come back home and take care of some stuff. Because, you know, if I get home before my fiance does, she has the right to come home to a clean house. And since we're so busy, sometimes the dishes don't get done immediately. And we don't believe that it's her job or my job to do the dishes. It's our job as a couple. So when I got home, I knocked out those dishes and took care of that stuff so that my baby can come home to a clean house. But I told her I really wanted to do a podcast episode. And she said that she's like, go for it, baby, have fun. And she's going to stay there and spend some time with her family. So it's given me an opportunity to go ahead and talk about this and discuss this episode and just this topic. But I really do feel that an organization that has been known to have the reputation as a pro-black, not a anti-white, or it's not a racist organization against any other person or any other culture. It's about uplifting the black race. That's what the reputation was that it's had for so long. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Technically, anyone of color, Latinos, Asians, blacks, anyone who is of color or has melanin pigmentation in their skin, they could qualify for help from the NAACP. But I'm sitting there listening to various leaders of the NAACP calling for a boycott to Florida because Governor DeSantis, the claims that they're making is Governor DeSantis does not agree with teaching black history. He doesn't want to teach black history. He's against black history being taught in schools. And of course, like the day he made his decision to ban the curriculum from for the AP Black History course that is being proposed to be taught in the schools out there, members of The View were out there saying, oh, DeSantis is racist. He doesn't want to talk about black history. They're making all these allegations about DeSantis saying or turning down the AP Black History, I forget what AP stands for, but it's like advanced curriculum, advanced schools or whatnot, or advanced classes for like gifted students and stuff like that. So there was an AP Black History course that was proposed to the Department of Education, and you know, they approved it and they had to send it to the governor to see if he would approve it, and the governor shot it down, and also various members of their Senate and their leadership turned it down as well. So he held a press conference to discuss this issue, and people like some newscasters were talking to him and asked him directly, like, hey, so why did you actually turn down the AP Black History course? And he gave his answers. And, you know, of course, The View was totally without even like they hadn't even released the actual curriculum outline to society. No one's able to see what actually was part of the course. And be like up until the point that Governor DeSantis denied this and shut it down. But The View was talking about it as though they had known for sure this is what, you know, the reasons why he denied it. And then the chairman of the NAACP. He is the chairman of the NAACP board of directors. His name is Leon W. Russell. Him and other various members of the board and representatives of the NAACP were calling for a boycott for all Black people to not go to Florida. And they were saying, we don't want any Black people coming to Florida. You're going to be racially discriminated against. They don't even want to teach Black history. And in Florida, they're 100% against it. And naturally, when I hear allegations, especially allegations concerning racism or, you know, bigoted views or whatnot, I like to do my own research. Because God knows we cannot trust the media. We have to look at things for ourselves. We have to do our own research. Because who actually wants to be a parrot? You ask so many of these people out there screaming and just going out there and protesting. I see people protest all the time, getting out there and stopping traffic. They are hindering good working, hardworking people from getting home to their family members, some of whom have sick children who are trying to get back home. But rather than going out, you like, oh, we have a problem with the police department, so let's stop traffic from everybody else. We're going to punish the rest of society who hasn't done us any wrong when we have a problem with the cops. Rather than going to the police station and protesting in front of the police station or protesting at the mayor's office and saying, we demand that you reform the police station because you're not safe or whatever. If that's your argument, if that's what you really believe, why not protest in a way that actually gets results? No. When George Floyd was murdered, instead of actually going out there and protesting against the police department that did that or that was the officers that were responsible for that, no, their version of protesting and getting results was to break into buildings that had nothing to do with that incident and stealing TVs for themselves, going on expensive shopping sprees, breaking into Coach and luxury brands to go steal stuff. Nothing says justice like stealing a purse for yourself or getting a brand new TV at the expense of other taxpayer dollars. But guess what? It's not free because your taxes are going to have to replenish all that was lost. That's just how society works. You're going to have to pay for it some way, somehow, by them adding more taxes. So rather than go and destroy the building or the building that houses the individuals responsible for the motivation for protest, which is wrong but makes more sense, no, let's just go ahead and destroy our own communities and burn stuff to the ground. And then go steal everything so that these places move out and we don't have jobs here and we can't feed our families because nobody wants to open a business here. That's what's happening to San Francisco. That's what's happening. That's actually what happened and is still happening in Chicago. Walmarts are shutting down and other places because of Mayor Lightfoot and her failure as a governor, as a mayor. People are out there leaving Chicago in droves because the crime rate is out of control. People are, that's like the idiocy, I pronounced that wrong, I know I did, the idiocy of getting mad because of an external force and then protesting and destroying your own stuff is as dumb as you getting mad at a neighbor for how they didn't mow their lawn. You're like, oh, your lawn is too long. I'm so pissed off because you didn't mow your lawn. I'm going to burn my house down. What sense does that make? Why not go directly to the source of the issue and confront the issue? Of course, that makes sense, though. Notice that in the Million Man March, they got voting rights and all kinds of other rights restored, like given to us, like rights that were rightfully ours that were being denied. Our ancestors were able to fight for that without actually burning a single building. Peaceful protests, actual peaceful and organized protests, have consistently changed laws. Those are the things that change laws. Not walking around with picket signs and saying, we want this, we want that. That never changes laws. These organized gatherings where people are actually being civil and going and putting pressure on these government leaders, those are the things that change laws. But they don't teach you that because they want you to act like a stereotype so people can feel justified in doing the injustices that they're doing. So why do I feel that the NAACP has betrayed Black Americans? Because in my former episodes, in some of my former episodes, I've talked about the number one cause of Black murder is actually other Black men. Other Black men kill Black people at a higher rate than any other race kills their own. But you don't hear the NAACP openly getting out there and saying, we need to stop this. You don't hear the celebrities getting on TV and say, hey guys, come on, what's going on? But when George Floyd was murdered, you start seeing celebrities left and right getting on TV and saying, hey, this is wrong. We need to stop this. This is horrible. Lizzo's talking about being denied. I'm not going to go rehash all that stuff that I've said in previous episodes. But the fact is that the NAACP and all the black celebrities out there are silent about the black on black crime pandemic that's happening not only in America, but worldwide. Wherever hip hop is, that's what's happening. Hip hop is prevalent. Black, look at the numbers. You may disagree with that, but before you really 100% ignore that idea, look at the numbers. Wherever there is a large black, or excuse me, wherever there's a large hip hop like fan population in the world, you will see the same trend with blacks killing blacks at a higher rate. You will see that trend. It's interesting because hip hop is a type of music that degrades women as the baseline tone of it. It degrades women and calls them the B word. It never identifies women as anything other than a sexual object. Listen to any lyric, especially in modern times, especially within the last decade. Listen to any lyric given by a female rapper. You'll never hear a female rapper talking about being strong, independent, and a good mother or a good wife. Nah, it's always a woman out to get money and use her body to get what she wants. And people call that, oh, she's being empowered. No, she's not being empowered. She's limiting herself to a sexual object rather than talking about the strength of womanhood not being promiscuous. Your value does not lie in what you have between your legs. Your value lies in who you truly are. But so many people hide behind their sexuality that they completely forget who they really are. We're not hearing celebrities talk about this pandemic, this big problem that's happening all across the world. They're listening to hip hop music that praises getting money over everything. Literally, for those who are believers, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But they're teaching in hip hop music to seek after money by any means. You only live once. Live like you. There's no tomorrow. Do whatever it takes to get that paper. Whatever it takes. Okay, well, I'm getting a job and I'm not living like Drake, or I'm not living like Lil Wayne. I'm not living like these big time celebrities. I don't have the stuff that they have. Oh my gosh. So I got to do something different. I'm working hard and I'm sweating. And then all of a sudden you start hearing these lyrics about from rappers saying, why am I going to spend all this time working for a man who's going to pay me minimum wage when I could just jack somebody and get a year's worth of loot? You know, you're hearing stuff like that in these songs. So what makes it, especially if you didn't have a male role model growing up to teach you who you really are and what it means to be a man, which is not identified by the genitals you have between your legs. That's not what makes a man. That's what makes a biological male. What makes a man is a male who rises up to his responsibilities. The reason why society has worked for so long is because men were understanding their roles as men in society. Like, it doesn't matter whether you want to do a job or not. You do the job because you have to. You have a responsibility to yourself, to your family, and to society. These are really important things that are available to us. And I don't want to talk about, you know, about schools and what the public schools are doing to fellas. Like, I this is not relevant or pertinent to the conversation. It doesn't matter about that because that's a whole different subject. I'm just talking about the things that people are not addressing, the things that celebrities like Lizzo, Lil Wayne, Dr. Dre, Drake, the list goes on. The list that are the list of things that are happening on a daily basis that these celebrities are not talking about. You heard LeBron James talk at length when, you know, George Floyd was murdered by those police officers. You heard him talk about that. Anytime there was a racially motivated incident that happened that was hot on the media, LeBron James made sure he opened his mouth and talked about it. But you never once heard all those little girls who were murdered by drive-by shooters. You never heard LeBron James get on there and say, you know what, hey, man, we need to stop killing ourselves, man. We're murdering ourselves at a higher rate than the police are. And we're saying that the police killing us is a big problem in the black community. Well, guess what? If you listen to my other episode that I just recently did, it talks about how that actually is not a big problem in black society. In fact, more white people were killed by cops than blacks. I pulled out the statistics. Go back and check out my other episode when I talk about that. More white people were killed by cops, whether it was justified or unjustified, than blacks. And yes, there are more white people in America than there are black people. But the fact is that you're still, even the percentage of white people that are killed in America by cops every year is bigger than the amount of people that are killed that are black by cops, justified and unjustified. Why aren't they talking about that on the media and stuff like that? Because it blows out of the water their narrative that black people are being targeted consistently by police officers. Are black people being targeted by police officers? Yes, there are people that are black that are being targeted by police officers. Are white people being targeted by police officers? Yes, there are white people who are also being targeted by police officers. This is not an exclusive monopoly to black people. We're just hearing about it more because racism sells. Again, for those of you who know me and followed my other episodes, I talked about when I was in Iraq. When we first went out there, the news was covering the good things we were doing about feeding the children, giving them soccer balls, and all the good deeds we did to rebuild their communities and educate them, teach them, get women back in school so that they can learn and have the same rights as men. My unit was responsible for the first election that Iraq had since Saddam Hussein. They were not talking about the good stuff that we did because people started tuning out. They didn't want to hear the good. They wanted the drama. So when we started shooting back after someone shot at us or killed one of our fellow brothers or sisters in arms, and we got angry and we shot back and wanted to kill those people, their response was like, oh, let's record this and let's twist it up so that it looks like we're bullies. We're killing helpless people. And that's the story that started being broadcast across America. While we're risking our lives for a war we didn't ask to be in, the media is making us look like we are the villains, that we're the Gestapo out there just massacring innocent people. They didn't show both sides of the story until people started tuning out and saying, well, this war is going on for too long, we're over it. That's when they started letting other people, that's why military members started actually bringing their own cameras so that people can start seeing both sides. We put cameras on our heads so that we can record our engagements and see how we're interacting with people and how we're attacked. But we're not out there shooting first. Other people are shooting at us, and then we return fire and dominate. So the media wants to sell a story. And the narrative that another white man was shot by the police officers in so-and-so county today, witnesses are saying it was unjustified. That's not going to sell. People are not going to care about that. But when you say another black man was murdered today by the police department in Compton, in Los Angeles, California, other people are saying this was not justified. People are going to tune in like right, left and right and say, see, I told you, they're targeting us. Let me tell you the truth. Your average police officer does not wake up in the morning and go, man, I hope I get to kill somebody. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Your average police officer is praying to God he doesn't even have to draw his weapon because all he wants to do is come home safely. These are normal people like you and I. And just like you and I, there are flaws. And there's always going to be flaws as long as you have a human element involved. There's always going to be flaws. We have stuff going on. Every one of us has had a job, and we also had a bad day where we had some personal stuff going on in our lives, and we were a little more agitated than we should have been. And it affected our job performance. These guys are out on the street. They're dealing with all kinds of personalities. When they first start their beat, most of the time, they're really, really cool. They're really laid back because they're just starting their day. But at the end of their shift, where they're tired and exhausted from sitting in that car all day and dealing with all these different personalities, ideally, they should still be cool as they did when they first started, but they're human. And I'm not justifying. I'm just saying, understand that some of these guys are just stressed out and having a rough day. And they take it out on you. It's not justified. They shouldn't do it, but that's what happens. Just like many of us get short with clients or customers or dealing with other people and partners and stuff like that, we may get short with other people because we had a bad day or we were just irritated. It happens. Again, it's not to justify, it's to understand. Now, how did the NAACP betray us? By calling for that boycott, without even actually explaining the reason why it was this AP Black History courses or this AP Black History course proposed was denied. They just say, oh, they don't care. They immediately make it a big racial thing. They don't want Black history to be taught in schools. They wish it would never happen. They want a white Black history from the books, like Black history is not a thing. But in fact, Ron DeSantis is quoted many times, but you don't see this on the same media, because he says Black history is American history. It shouldn't be separated. It should be intertwined in what history is being taught. Because Black people, Native Americans, Latinos, they're all part of the history of this country. Even the Chinese built the railroads alongside other slaves and Blacks. Lots of people build these railroads. Not just the Chinese, Blacks, and slaves. There were a lot more Mexicans that built these railroads too. But you're not hearing about that stuff. You're not hearing about the slaves that were white. You're not hearing about the slaves that were, or the slave masters that were Black. You're not hearing about those things. Why? Because it defeats and destroys the narrative that white men were the slave owners and Blacks were the slaves. That's the narrative they want us to believe. And we keep falling into that because we fail to do our own research. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
My pleasure. Good evening.
I really, really liked the brief amount of time that I heard you. And I got to say, slave labor, and this is not racial, this is not about color, it's not about religion, exists today in America.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Especially in the prison systems.
Well, I've never been to prison. But I got to tell you, yes, possibly that's, but it happens in all societies, in all demographics, in all financial areas. It exists.
Yes, it does.
It exists.
And just imagine the difference that society would be, or how different society would be if they were to teach this to our children. I didn't know that there were Black slave owners until I was like in my 20s, oh, yes. Like my mid-20s. If they were to teach kids this stuff and say, hey, did you know that there were almost as many Black slave owners as white slave owners? And slavery was just a way of life?
And they were worse. Because I'll tell you one thing. Your people are the worst. And I'm not talking about Blacks. Your people will use you the worst way possible.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Black and white. You could be any nationality, any religion.
Yeah.
They will abuse you. And lots of time that you don't even know what abuse is.
Yep.
And I experienced it.
When you're raised in a certain series of circumstances, that becomes your norm. So you don't realize it's good or bad because that's your baseline. But yeah,
your people will tell you. I'm not talking about your people. I'm talking about a group of people will tell you. Well, you're privileged. You have this job. You have this position. So now go for it. And they'll give you a title. They'll give you a salary. And they'll give you whatever you want. And then they start taking.
Yep. I've had that so many times when I would succeed at something and do something right and start growing in something. Then all of a sudden the person that put in a word for me to get a job or get an opportunity, they would come back and say, hey, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. You owe me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? I don't owe you anything. Yeah. You introduced me, but I was the one that closed the deal. I appreciate your help, but come on now, that like we didn't sign a business negotiation.
And if you allow it, they'll freaking play with your head like you won't believe.
Yep. That's why a lot of people that win the lotto they wear a mask and they try to be secretive about it. And like, I don't want to tell my family because they know as soon as your one person knows. Yeah. As soon as one person knows you won the lottery, they're going to come out of nowhere. Like you're going to have like six cousins that you've never even heard of come out the cuts and go, hey, what's up, cousin, man? How you doing?
Yeah.
Let me hold something. Let me hold a little bit. You a millionaire, man. You can lose a couple $1,000s. It ain't gonna hurt you that bad.
And they'll look. That's just the beginning of it.
Yep.
That's basic economy in the United States of America. You just said it. I didn't say it. You just said it. And I was a businessman.
Yeah. I agree. And I think like, because I've said multiple times in previous broadcasts, the most racial experiences I've had in my life were not from white people. They were from my own people. Yeah, I've been when too. I because I speak
white.
Say again.
And I'm white.
Yeah,
it was my kind of people, not all whites, but my own people.
Yeah. Because we're taught to be racist. We see stereotypes so much on TV and we're exposed to these stereotypes that we start to believe that this is the baseline. This is normal. So when we see normal and then we see something that's outside of the normal, we're like, whoa, what the heck? And like I've said before in a previous book,
you don't even know how to deal with
it. Exactly. Like I've said that I'm used to the norm. When I talk to a brother, I'm used to the norm to be, this brother may have like a little bit of swag or soul in his voice. But when I hear a British accent come out of that man's mouth, it catches me off guard because that's not the norm.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Mary, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to talk to people and have these discussions. I really do enjoy having exchanges and dialogues and contributing to the discussions so that we can all learn and grow and improve. And just going back to the topic as well, it's just, I've have been called some really racist stuff by my own people. And it's sad because I don't talk like a stereotype because people didn't die for me to talk like a stereotype. They died for me so that I can have an education, so I can learn to read, so I can learn to articulate. Those people that fought for our rights did not speak like stereotypes. Malcolm X spoke like an articulated individual who happened to be Black. Dr. King spoke like an articulated individual who happen to be Black. So if any one of us believes or hears somebody speak and then go, oh, you whitewashed, or you don't talk like a Black man, you are racist for believing that. And you're like, I'm not racist, I'm Black. Doesn't matter. You can be racist against your own people. It's very possible. You can't talk Black. You can't talk white. Those are colors, not phrases of speech. If you put the most albino person in the deepest hood, that person will adopt the type of way that that group in society speaks, just like anyone else will. If you go around, like if you're look at it, if you're a brother or a sister, if you're Black and you go to Mexico and you're raised around there, you're going to speak Spanish. You're going to start having a Latino accent. You're going to pick up the habits of the society in which you're raised. So you can't talk Black. You can't talk white. Those are stereotypes. And we're also misunderstanding. We're putting colors and races over the word that should be educated or ignorant. Think about that. Let that sink in for a second. Because when a person says, you don't talk Black, what they really mean but don't realize they're saying is, you don't talk ignorant. How are you talking articulate? How are you speaking clearly? How are you speaking like you have an education? You're Black. It doesn't make sense. That's what they're saying. And this comes from the mouth of people in my own racial community more so than I've ever heard it come from white people. And that's just my personal experiences. And again, I'm not saying this is across the board. I'm saying that's what I have experienced being born and raised in a hood. I've experienced these things myself. And that's what we really need to pay attention to. Welcome, Wandering Fool. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, because all of those that wander aren't really lost.
That is true. I agree with that. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be welcome. I was thinking about how you were explaining your experience, and that's a common experience that I have met in Black men. And I thought about how the language that we speak isn't necessarily ignorance versus education, because there's actually a name for the dialect. They call it African American Vernacular English, and it's a living, breathing language. And you know how you can go in certain environments. You say you grew up in the hood. So mm-hmm. You know how you can go in certain environments and still understand everything that's said by the people there.
Yes.
I can go into any environment where there are African-American people and pretty much understand what the elders are saying, simply because I grew up knowing this truly intelligent, insightful language. And it's almost as if the educated language has become a way of classing people. If you do not speak this way, you are not educated. And I know people with college degrees that speak African American vernacular English. And there's the Southern version, the Northern version, the Western version, and the Southwest version. And I've come across a lot of people that have been scarred by their own people. And they teach out of a pain point of, I am better because I am this. These people betrayed me, but I'm going to turn my back on them because they don't accept me. And it's so common, especially with Black men, especially when it comes to dating as well. They are so scarred by the Black women of the past that they cannot recognize the Black women that are just like them, that stand right next to them, that fight for them. And I just want people to kind of stop teaching out of that pain point. If we heal from that trauma first, we can approach those that we deem ignorant or the ones that harmed us and actually teach, not chastise, not belittle them, not tell them that they're ignorant, because it was a way of life. And the way I healed through trauma is looking at the history and how it worked, but not from the lens of this is what happened to me and this person did this and this organization is so screwed up. When we look at history, it's written by the victors. And if somebody wasn't a sellout or if somebody wasn't the bad guy, we wouldn't be here. Like with the point about making the African-American slave owners and saying that there were as many slave owners that were Black as there were white. A good nuance to that is the fact that it was cheaper to buy your family out of slavery than it was to have them freed. So if you bought your family out of slavery, you essentially saved them by being the bad guy.
I actually researched that. I've heard that claim. Because I looked at a website that said that that was actually the majority, but actually it wasn't majority. It was actually the minority, because the government of the United States actually established certain criteria that would allow a person to be freed. And males were usually the ones that were able to fit that criteria more so than females and kids, because the criteria specifically identified whether or not a person was going to be able to provide for themselves and not be a burden to the United States. And men at the time, you know, they could provide for themselves, they could get jobs, and just women just didn't really work like that back in that time. So they looked at women and said, you're not going to be free because you don't fit the criteria. You're going to be a burden to the United States and we'd have to support you. We don't want to do that. You're better off as a slave, which would prompt a lot of freedmen to buy their wife and kids. So when they would try to, you know, build businesses that they've learned through slavery, they would try to hire free men. And then they would realize, man, I have an overhead. I got to pay these guys. I got to do all this stuff. And I'm not able to compete against those who have slaves. So they would end up buying slaves to do free labor for them, because it was far cheaper to actually buy a slave and have that slave working for you than have a payroll. This was actually the common thing, according to like all the census reports and all the documents that I've been able to see. This was the common reason why slavery was a thing. It's also important to recognize that the very first slaves in California were Mexicans, and Texas, Mexicans. Like Mexicans were the very first slaves on the West Coast in the Southwest. And then because the Mexicans knew the society, the landscape, etc., better than the white settlers and the Black slave owner settlers that were here, they were able to escape into freedom. And also the Native Americans were the other first slaves on this continent, way before Black slaves were being traded into America. We are taught in schools that that you hear slave owner, we automatically think white. You hear slave, we automatically think Black. But the fact is that Mexicans and Native Americans were the very first slaves on this continent, and people always blame the white man, quote unquote, for the reason why we were slaves. But that's not true at all. It's 100% false, in fact. Dominant African tribes have always enslaved and captured weaker African tribes and slaved them way before they met the white man. Well, it's just true history. And if we were taught true history, we wouldn't try to monopolize the slave trade, as we see in the movie The Woman King, where they actually make the most notorious slave trading tribe in history. They try to make it a hero and say, oh yeah, they're defending against slavery, when they actually were the biggest culprits to enslave their own people and trade them. They first traded to the Spanish, and they traded to the Portuguese, and then the Portuguese and Spanish were trading to the white settlers that came to the United States. But before blacks were slaved, blacks used to actually enslave the Greeks through the Persians. The Persians were black, so they used to enslave.
You're telling me this history. I know this history. I'm a history buff. I studied a lot of it.
Well, I'm not just talking to you. I'm also talking to all the people listening who don't know this history.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd just like to add a little caveat to mm-hmm. that. When we talk about African slavery and other tribes enslaving other people, there were rules to how they were treated. It wasn't the same as the American slave trade. It was quite a systematic thing. You could actually be free and marry into the clans. That's where you get the Blackfeet Indians, where the African American slaves were basically integrated into society, and they became part of the tribes, and their children were considered Blackfeet Indians. And it's almost as if, when we look at it, there's an anger about who shot John and who did it first and what society did what. And if we go a little further back past slavery, we realize that the natives of this continent actually sailed to both sides, Mansa Musa and Queen Elizabeth I actually brought slaves, or made an agreement to trade slaves, through the ideas of the Spanish and their writers. But it was quite different from the way that slavery worked in society beforehand.
I hear what you're saying, however I disagree, because of the evidence that I've been able to find, and it's based off of the tribal group that is dealing with slavery. Because there are Persian groups that would do the exact same things, if not worse, to what the white settlers were always being blamed with doing. And in fact, with the black slave owners, a lot of them participated in a group, in an act known as slave breeding, which was heavily looked down upon by especially other white slave owners and other slave owners. Like, it was considered a societal horrible act to breed slaves. The way they did it was just like breeding cattle, breeding dogs. You would send what they would call a buck to go out and actually have sex with a random female slave to actually breed slaves. It was not something that was respected. It was an abhorrent act, but this was something that black slave owners were very much known for doing. You also have the Native American, the Aztec slave owners that would go and get weaker tribes of Mayan and various other Native American tribes and kidnap them, murder their entire people, and then sacrifice many of them to their gods. There's a movie called Apocalypto, directed by Mel Gibson, that actually identifies that pretty accurately. So the Native Americans were not all kind to their slaves. There were very many of them. And I know a number of Native Americans who've also shared this history with me firsthand from, you know, their sources, and they would go out and find weaker Native American tribes, especially when it was winter time, when it's getting ready for the winter. They would go out and destroy an entire tribe and take all their food, all their supplies, and take their women, and then breed their women out of existence. They were bloodthirsty. So when they talk about, oh, the white man came and took our land, whenever I hear a Native American say that, I just tell them, stop it, dude. Your tribe did the exact same thing. We were just better at it. Am I justifying it? No, I'm just saying that's the way things were. You can't get mad at, I mean, you can't justly condemn and get mad at a society for doing to your ancestors what your ancestors did to other people. To this day, there is a massive slave trade going on in the world, especially in Africa, which has the highest slave trade. Mexico, the cartels in Mexico have a large slave trade as well, but it's human trafficking. That's what they call it. Human trafficking is not just moving people from one country to another, one society to another. Human trafficking is often slavery. it's often the act of enslaving prostitutes. It's forcing women to do sexual acts for money against their will, especially in return to pay off a debt they're never going to pay off. So slavery had multiple motives for it. It was not just to it was not just white slave owner, black slave. The reason why I'm saying all this is because if we were to sit there and actually unveil the real history of slavery, how it happened for the Persians enslaving the Greeks, and how it happened with the British enslaving the Scottish. If we were to talk about the Native Americans who enslaved their own tribes and the Africans who enslaved their own tribes, we would just look at slavery and say, slavery sucked, slavery was wrong. But we would not assign a racial monopoly that, oh, when we hear the word slave, we think black people. When we hear the word slave owner or slave master, we think the word white people, the white man. If we were to do that, society would be significantly different, and the racial narrative would not have as much power as it does today. Welcome back, Mary.
I gotta say something about human trafficking. It's not only based on prostitution, it's based on labor, free labor.
Yes.
So I'm not gonna go much into history, because I did study history. It goes back thousands of years.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's about labor, land, profit, and of course prostitution comes in there. If I call anybody a prostitute, it makes me better than someone else. It's in the Bible, right? Mary Magdalene.
Well, interestingly, Mary Magdalene was never actually identified in the Bible as a prostitute. That was actually a narrative assigned to her.
Yes.
But she's never, ever identified as a prostitute in any way or form.
But this is what happens when we degrade each other. Degradation. When we degrade each other in layer after layer, and we strip that human being, one person's character, that person maybe will just give up and be a slave. And then anything could be done, man or a woman. So this is a psychological dehumanization of a human being.
Oh yeah. You can see that in the history with the gladiators. If you treat a human like an animal, you treat a human like an animal, they're going to become an animal. You treat an animal like a human, they're going to become more dignified, well-behaved. It's just...
Look at the Roman Empire. Empire said, as long as you join us and obey the laws, you do what we tell you, then you're good with us. But one wrong thing, we will destroy you. England was a slave. The world became a slave. Some succeeded, some didn't.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with color, race, or religion.
Yeah. It's all about power.
It's about power.
I believe that...
Who was the Roman Empire? Basically...
I believe that slavery has existed in some form on every continent during every generation of time. And it includes today. There's just various forms of slavery. Free labor is slavery in a way, especially when you lose your freedom. There are people who are married in various countries who are slaves, who have no rights, have no freedoms. Like many of the women who are married in Afghanistan are essentially slaves. They have no freedoms.
It happens here. You divorce your husband and the whole fucking neighborhood is going to say, oh, it was her fault. Because he is more powerful than the woman as an American.
I don't know about that one. Because especially in California, in America, majority of divorces are filed by women. In America, women do significantly less time for the same exact crimes that men do. in America, 90% of the time, even with a very toxic drug using, alcohol abusing mother, in a custody battle, the mother will get the children more often than the father. And also in America, if you are dating a woman, if you're dating a woman for a long, if you're a man dating a woman for a long time who happens to have children who are not yours, and once you guys break up, that woman can legally come and claim child support against you, and she will get it because the court will say you were a father figure to those children. A woman can lie to you that a child is your child, and you sign the birth certificate, you're being with this woman, this baby was born, even though she knows it's not your child. You can sit there and actually raise a child for X amount of years and be providing for this child and raising this child. And then after there's a divorce or a separation, she can still come at you for child support, even if you find out proof this child is not your child. You can get a DNA test that says absolutely this child is not yours. And the court will say, sorry, you should have done that when, you know, before the baby was 2 years old. We're not going to help you. You're screwed. So when I hear women say that men have more power, I disagree with that because there's too much evidence to show that they don't. We have the crappiest jobs that women don't want to do. We're the ones on the front line of the military taking all the wars that nobody wants to fight. We're the ones going into the sewers. We're the ones running into burning buildings to pick people up and pull people out. We're the ones sitting there and cleaning out septic tanks because women don't want to go in there. We're the ones that are majority of the time doing the jobs that, like engineers, like lumberjacks, the heavy labor jobs where you're standing in the sun for hours upon hours. We're the ones that do that because women don't want to. It's not that they can't join these jobs. They just don't want to. And men, according to the labor laws and statistics, men put in more hours per week than women do. And the people, and we keep hearing stuff on the media or on various social media platforms, especially Brittany Griner and all these other people saying, and what the heck is that woman's name from the U.S. women's soccer team? Megan Rapinoe. She's all talking about we need the same pay for, you know, for the jobs that we're doing. We deserve to get more money. And WNBA players are out there saying we deserve more money. We need to get more money. It's unfair. Literally, the WNBA like operates at a loss consistently every year. The NBA sponsors a WNBA and loses $6 million per team per year. So because of the NBA, they're able to pay the outrageous salaries to these WNBA players. And majority of the people out there supporting the WNBA and saying, oh yeah, these women deserve more money, have never gone to a WNBA game. And if you do go look at a WNBA game, go look at any ticket, go buy, you can buy courtside seats for like $500. For the NBA, courtside seats are like $14,000, depending on the team. If you go into a WNBA game, there are tons of empty seats. It's like operating at maybe a third of the capacity of that entire stadium. They, in fact, remove seats and shut down seats so that it doesn't look as empty. But I'm saying, like, these claims are not valid. There are women out there that commit crimes, and then when they go see the judge, they're like, Your Honor, please have mercy on me. I have a daughter. I have a son that needs me. And the judge is like, all right, I'm going to put you on probation or parole, and I'm going to let you go. And then a judge comes and sees a man who does the exact same crime with the exact same attributes to the crime. And he'll say, Your Honor, please have mercy on me. My kids need me, and I have a son or a daughter that needs me, and I'm all they got. The judge will look at that children man and say,
it's a bargain.
Well, yeah, but when men do that same thing, judges will say, well, you should have thought about that before you committed your crime. 5 years, 10 years, or however much time. So men get screwed more often.
When did women were able to vote in this modern, beautiful country?
Well, the reason, like, there's some allegations out there as to why they were able to start voting. Because not all men were able to vote either. Back then, in that time, the reason why women were not able to vote is because they couldn't join the military. There was a responsibility for everyone who was able to vote to have to serve in the military and sign up for the draft. That was actually a caveat. In order to vote, you had to be willing.
Do you know anything about D-Day girls? World War One, World War Two, farmers?
Yeah.
Wars prior to that?
The whole we can do it too thing, that was all talking about that. But like, they didn't have to sign up for the draft.
Do you know many women were erased their names? Because in Europe, they said, not only in the United States, they said, no, women cannot join, but women suffer. Women fucking pluck the fields. Women did all the dirty work that the military couldn't do.
Yeah, they had to, because the men were all being drafted and sent to a war they didn't want to fight. Yeah, who was going to do it? If the men were all gone, who was going to do it? The kids? The women had to step up. It was a necessity of society. That's what happens when there's a necessity of society, people rise up because the society needs them to do it. So when you have majority of the men out there in war, if you all you have left is women, someone's got to do the work. So women are going to rise up and take care of that responsibility because society needs them to. Because they didn't sign up for the draft. They couldn't. They didn't have a responsibility. They didn't have a responsibility for the draft.
Women were always beneath men. And I'm European.
Well, I agree that back then society looked at women as lesser. I agree with that. That's an accurate statement. I don't believe that women are less than men. I believe that women have a role that complements men. And I believe that men have a role that complements women. They're supposed to be one in working together. They have different roles that complement each other. That's how it was supposed to be. But like men wanted to say again.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I know it wasn't that way. But you asked a direct question about, you know, why women couldn't vote. And the reason why they couldn't vote is because there was a responsibility for anyone who had the authority to vote or the right to vote. They had to sign up for the draft. It was related.
But yet they could not be drafted.
They could sign. They could join the military. There were women out there in the military, nurses and all kinds of jobs. They just didn't want to join the military because of all the responsibilities in the military of going to boot camp. And in fact, the women didn't have the same kind of hard, rigorous boot camp that men had. It was a very, very different basic training that these women had. They were doing jobs like nursing. They're doing jobs like which actually have a very, very high, you know, success rate in getting out in society. But you had all these guys being drafted into the infantry and fighting a war and then coming home and realizing there's not much you can do with the infantry job because the security wasn't a high demand job back then. All you can do is be a cop. They didn't understand shell shock. So men had a real much worse experiencing PTSD before they knew what PTSD was. They just called it shell shock. Women were not running on the beaches of Normandy, you know, being shot at by machine guns with a life expectancy of 2 minutes. Meaning that within 2 minutes, you're most likely going to be dead by the time you get off your ship. Women didn't experience that. So am I trying to put down women? No, I'm just trying to say that if we're going to talk about equality, let's pour it out there. Let's say that women are superior to men in today's society. Women can make an allegation of sexual assault on a man with no evidence and that man goes to jail. But if a man makes the same exact allegations against a woman, people are going to laugh at him, scold him. It's all over. You see it on TV when a man is like, dude, like this woman used to beat me senselessly. And women will start laughing and say, you're just a punk. Like, come on, Nav, you're a man. You should be able to stand up for yourself immediately. They completely shame him. But let a woman come out and go, oh, my gosh, he hit me. He slapped me. And immediately everyone's going to jump to her aid. People that have no idea what's going on are going to immediately take her side. If a woman cries on the stand in a court session that's making an allegation, the jury's going to go, oh, my gosh, she's crying. I'm taking her side. Even if her story is completely contradicting itself, they're more likely to take her story from a woman who's crying than they are to take a story from a man who's crying. There's a double standard. Let's be honest with ourselves. There's a double standard that favors women. In fact, the majority of people in the prison system in the United States, the majority of men there did not have active fathers growing up. The vast majority of men who are in prison right now did not have active fathers growing up. So you're seeing the majority of these women out there who are single mothers who are by large, you know, of course, these are situations outside their control. Mother can't be at work and at home at the same time. She has to pick one or the other and do the best with what she's got. But the statistics and the numbers are showing proof that single father homes where a single father is raising these children produces the same exact results as a two-parent household. That is the more common baseline amongst single-father homes. They produce the exact same result as a mother-father household, more consistently than a single-mother home. Single-mother households do not produce that same result. Those are the numbers. That's the facts. So when you're seeing the BLM movement come up, and these, you actually read their mission statement, where they want to talk about taking away the patriarchal patriarch family unit. They want to destroy that, and they want to make it to where, you know, fathers are not present in the family anymore. And then you look at how the welfare system of the United States was founded and how it rewarded single mothers to actually not get married, so that removed the purpose of the father from the home. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Members of the Black race started spiraling out of control. These kids started growing all over the place. They had no father figure to keep them balanced. So they ended up running wild and going to the streets to teach them how to be what they believe was a man. And they ended up getting arrested, because naturally the politicians are like, that's money, let's get that money. So they put more cops in these areas to create more laws and more ways that you can arrest people, so that they can make more money having people locked up. That's what's going on in our society. They want to remove people want to talk about, oh, the patriarchy is horrible. The patriarchy is horrible. Like, are you serious? If it weren't for the patriarchy, we would be speaking all kinds of other languages. Nowhere in the history of the world has an all-female military been the dominant power of a society. Like, there may have been battles that have been won by all-women militaries, but wars have never been won by an all-women military. It's never happened. It won't happen. Because when they're met with men, male warriors, there's a strength difference. Our bodies are created differently. Men were created to till the fields, to work with their hands. That's why our muscles are built differently. That's why our DNA is differently. We're meant to protect women. We're meant to protect women and children. We're meant we have a natural inner character that says protect the women and children. And we go run toward the fire. That's the natural, your average man. I don't know about, you know, society in today, because they're creating some really weak-minded individuals who won't work because they don't feel like it. And they're so sensitive, you can't joke with them. But men that were there when I was growing up, if there were some gunshots, we are all getting together and trying to figure out, like, okay, protect the kids, get everyone to the car. We got to protect our family. And if we see that shooter, we're going to run up and we're going to jump on that person. Because think about it now. We've had more active shootings in schools than ever in the history of our country. Because when I was growing up, we didn't have active shooters. We were getting whipped. We were getting spanked. We were getting knocked upside the head when we talked back to our parents. We were getting backhanded in the mouth for talking to our parents. And then all these people were like, you should never hit a kid. Spanking kids is wrong. Okay, well, then you start doing the 1, 2, 3 and the timeout and go sit in the corner. And I'm going to take your cell phone and I'm going to take your Xbox and all this and that. Now we got a bunch of kids who are entitled, who feel that they can talk to the parents any kind of way. And then all the parent does is say, don't talk to me that way or else you're not getting dessert. Kids like, I don't care. Go to your room. All right. And he goes to his room. He plays with all his toys. If I would have talked bad to my mom, I wouldn't finish the first sentence. I would have gotten knocked. My tooth would have gotten knocked out after the second word, because she would have been chasing me on the first. And I knew this. So I yelled at my mom. No, excuse me. I talked back to my mom one time in my entire life when I was 13 years old. On my 13th birthday, or excuse me, like the day after I was 13. My mom asked me to do something. I was sitting and I was laying on her bed watching TV in her room, and she told me to do something. And I was like, I'll do it in a minute. And she stopped at the doorway and she said, I said, go do it. And I looked at her and I said, I'll do it when I'm done watching this movie. And as I was saying the word movie, she had pounced from the doorway on top of me, like Mufasa. Like, I'm not even kidding. She just freaking Air Jordaned from the doorway to her bed, which was like at least 10 feet away from the doorway. I don't know how she did it, but my eyes almost popped out of my head in fear. And she just looked at me, and like my mother in her beautiful feminine voice is like, if you ever, ever talk back to me, I will end your life here. I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it. I had to change my diaper after that. I was scared. I thought I even could have sworn like I saw the angels in the background. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not your time yet, but it's going to be. Never talk back to my mom ever again after that moment. Like I'm saying, it's like, and that was back actually when I, my dad was part of my life way before he went to prison. Like the fact was, or no, actually he had gone to prison when I was 9. So yeah. Well, actually by that time he was out of my life. I had learned a couple of things from him and it was really important. I learned a couple of things about manhood from him, but I really wish I would have learned more. I learned all the things of what not to do by the absence of my father, unfortunately. And I was able to see just how having a fatherless home really can affect you. That really changed my life. I mean, I know I've strayed off the topic. We started talking about slavery, started talking about all this stuff, but the NAACP is... I mean, in a way, they're behind a good amount of this because they're not fighting for education to show people that slavery is not just, for, you know, pertaining to Black people. In fact, like we hear this and you know, not to condemn anybody, because I know people use the word African-American without any degree of disrespect. They're trying to use it as a respect to our African heritage or African roots. Me, I hate being called African-American. I'm an American. I love being American. I'm proud to be American. I fought for America. I didn't fight for African America. I fought for America. Most people who call themselves African American have never been to Africa. They have no idea what part of Africa their ancestors come from. And their grandparents weren't even born in Africa or have been to Africa. They just call themselves African American because that's what people name them. That's like with all these trans people and all these alphabet mafia people saying, oh, you're a cis male. Like the heck I am. I'm a man. That's what I am. I'm not a cis male. Don't call me cis male. I'm a man. Well, you're cis male. It's not offensive. Yes, it is. You want me to use your pronouns? You want me to call you whatever word you created? You better call me a man. Don't disrespect me and call me a cis male. I'm a male. I'm a man. You can be whatever you think you want to be, but I'm a man. Don't disrespect me to accommodate yourself. I don't do that. So to sit there and I disagree with the classification of African American vernacular English. It's just called English. If you go to Louisiana, you're going to hear people speaking Cajun English. It's basically a societal norm. And the reason why slaves spoke in a very ignorant way, and ignorant is not an insult. The word ignorant, because people think when you're calling someone ignorant, you call them stupid. That's a big difference. The word ignorant means to lack education or knowledge of something. So slaves were not stupid. They were ignorant because they didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to organize. They didn't have that kind of training. They were, in fact, against each other. The house slaves were at war, like, you know, ideally and enviously with the field slaves. The field slaves were angry because they had to be all out in the field and taking care of the hot sun and doing all the hard labor, while the house slaves were in there and enjoying a better environment, a more civil environment, and actually, you know, just doing chores out of the way, kind of on their own clock. So life was a little bit better for the slaves that were in the house and the ones outside. They dressed better. They didn't have to sweat better. In fact, it's more common that they got more bathing opportunities because the masters didn't want them stinking in the house. So they got to bathe more because they had to be clean and smelling good. So yeah, there was a war between them. And notice that we have a very similar quote unquote war going on between light skin and dark skin people. Kind of something that was passed down from that time. People always like, oh, light skin people look better than dark skin people. That's not true. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's based off of your personal perspective. There are lots of men out there who love really, really, really big women, like obese women, unhealthily obese women. It does it for them. That's their thing. And then there are women out there who love really, really, really tall guys when they're really, really short. So it's based off of your own perspective on what you think. You can't sit there and say that one color looks better than the other. You just have a preference to one hue more so than another. Doesn't mean that these people are more beautiful than others. It's based off of your own preference. So to call, in my opinion, to call the English that Black people tend to speak African American vernacular English I believe that's a miscategorization of English, because we get the English language from the Queen. We get it, they call it the King's or the Queen's English. We get it from Great Britain. It was handed down from the settlers. Otherwise, if the Mexicans that were the slave owners to black slaves, we'd be speaking Spanish. Hence, the Dominicans that are black. Hence, the Puerto Ricans that are black. The Cubans that are black. A lot of them come from ancestors of slavery who actually moved out and were traded to those continents. Slavery wasn't just America, and black slavery wasn't just America. Black slavery was worldwide, just like white slavery and Native American slavery and Mexican slavery. Like, that stuff traveled. Slaves were traded like a commodity. So these slaves spoke ignorantly. And you look at rappers today, like Lil Jon. You look at the rapper Lil Jon. Lil Jon, when he's in character doing the Lil Jon thing, he talks like an idiot. He has this. He purposely cuts words off and purposely uses a vernacular that's common to hood people to relate with them, to make them feel like, oh yeah, I'm one of you. But if you're talking to him in an interview with a person who happens to be like, you know, from the news or a respected journal or something like that, he's going to speak proper English because that's actually how he speaks. He actually talks that way. That's his normal way of speaking. But to make people feel like he's not looking down on them, he will, I don't want to say dumb himself down, but he'll utilize vernacular or vocabulary that is more common amongst the people he's trying to communicate with, which is pretty respectful, I think. You know, but I do believe that a lot of people think that that's how black people are supposed to talk because that's what's televised most. That's not how we're supposed to talk. That's, if you want to talk like that, that's just going to, you know, make you and people who think that that's who we talk think that we're ignorant. And that just kind of, you know, says a lot about them to stereotype an entire race based off of what you see on TV. But can you really blame them, considering that we're the ones helping that stereotype, you know, be spread? They don't come to that conclusion without our help. And the NAACP is not doing anything to help out. They're not doing anything to help break this misconception that white cops are just targeting black people. They're not talking about the huge problem with blacks killing other blacks. The NAACP is not doing this for us. They're not helping our people like this. In fact, they're spreading these horrible lies about Ron DeSantis saying that he doesn't want AP black history being taught in the schools. But then when you actually listen to Rob DeSantis say it for himself, answer for himself, the version of his answer, and I actually looked it up and I quote, he said, they want education, not indoctrination. If you fall on the side of indoctrination, we're going to decline. End quote. Those were his words. One of the lessons of that course focuses on queer theory, topic 4.19. And then he goes on to say, who would say that an important part of black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids. Those were his words. He also continued on to say, they had stuff on intersectionality, which is oppression based on racism, sexism, etc. It's the foundation of critical race theory. And he continued, and abolishing prisons, which is clearly a political agenda. They have movements for Black Lives, talking about Black Lives Matter and other things like that. They have movements for reparations. They have critiques of capitalism, and they have weekly instruction focus on Black identities. Rather than just focused on Black history and what, you know, what has helped build this country, they want to indoctrinate people by talking about queer theory. And there's a lot that focuses on the gay agenda. If you read the outline of the actual AP Black History course, because I looked it up and I saw it myself, and there's a lot of like quote unquote woke stuff in there that has nothing to do with education. It's about indoctrination. I also looked at some other things too, that NAACP is not speaking out against Planned Parenthood. I'm looking at Planned Parenthood and I saw some statistics that said in 2014, 36% of all abortions were performed on black women. 36%. Black women are only 13% of the female population. 13% of the female population is responsible for 36% of all abortions performed. Look at Planned Parenthoods and see where they're built. Majority, if not all of them, are built in urban areas. And they go, well, these women need help. These women need help. Well, I also learned that Planned Parenthood offers lots of options for abortion, but it offers no options for maternity care. But you keep hearing these politicians talking about, we need to give disenfranchised or less fortunate mothers and women out there access to proper health care. They keep calling it health care. They keep calling what Planned Parenthood does health care. Well, if it's real health care, how come they don't have any plans for maternity care? For helping a woman say, you know, we're going to help you have your baby if that's what you want. We want to help you have your baby. We're going to give you prenatal vitamins. We're going to give you access to WIC so we can make sure you get the proper medication and food that you need for your baby. We're going to help you raise your child. We're going to give you counseling so that you have assets and resources to help you raise your baby and breastfeed. If you don't know how to breastfeed, we're going to help you learn how to breastfeed and bond with your baby. You know, having abortion is not the only option you have. If that's what you want to do, that's your choice. But we want to let you know that there are other options on how to raise this child without all the weight being on your shoulders. We're here for you. None of that happens. It's how many ways can you kill your fetus? Let's show you. And rather than actually let them watch a video on what actually happens, they go, you don't even have to look. We won't even hold the baby for you. We'll make it as easy as possible for you. It's a really interesting thing that they keep pushing this. What if, just to consider, I know this might sound way out, but there's lots of studies out there, scientific studies, that show that stem cells have been used to do a lot of medical wonders. What if, and also it's kind of been found out and brushed under the rug, that Planned Parenthood was selling fetuses and stem cells to some organizations. What if the reason why the government is pushing for the rights of abortion has nothing to do with providing women with adequate health care, but it's more so to sell the stem cells for some dark reason that they don't want to tell us? Because, you know, like if you look at the amount of articles and then look, Google the articles for every person or every time somebody has discovered the cure for cancer, that person comes up missing or those people come up missing or dead. Interestingly, they happen to unalive themselves with no motive for ending their own life. They've never been that kind of person, but all magically they just do it after a world-changing discovery. All of a sudden, they just want to do that to themselves. It doesn't make any sense. Why would the government want to make sure that the cure for cancer is never found? Because there's billions and billions and billions of dollars every year that go into the Cancer Foundation, into cancer research. Our country's not stupid. They can find a cure for anything if given enough time. It's been like 40 plus years that they've been researching cancer and they haven't gotten the cure yet. Now, they need to keep the results of success about 60%. That way there's a chance. That way people have, you know, buy the medication because they don't, you know, Big Pharma does not want us to access to cure because then they lose us as a patient. No, they want us to go keep spending thousands and thousands of dollars buying their chemotherapy and going to do their radiation therapy and going to the groups to support groups and buying all this other medication that's supposed to help us out. That's what they want. They want long-term clients. They don't want one-time patients. They don't make money that way. They want repeat users. Interestingly, like if you were to be driving a Tesla, another thing, you know, just consider, if you were to be driving a Tesla and all of a sudden in the middle of the freeway, that Tesla just jams on its own brakes and then you end up flying through the windshield and you survive, you can sue Tesla. Because they stand behind their product, and then you're going to get lots of money from Tesla because of that injury that happened. But what you didn't know is all these places pushing the vaccination on you from the Rona, they are pushing that vaccination and get that poke. you need to get it. Go get poked. And they're still with these commercials, even after the evidence has shown that it's ineffective. It doesn't do anything. When they were sure, like, oh my gosh, this is going to work. It's going to stop the spread. And then you got the poke and you got it anyway, like two or three more times. I mean, even worse. Did you know that there was a law on the books that no one talked about, but it was there in some of the bills that were passed that gave immunity for the big pharma corporations that made the vaccinations? So if anything happened to you as a result of getting that poke, you could not sue Johnson & Johnson, Moderna or Pfizer. You couldn't sue any of them. You were just stuck and out of luck, SOL. I know personally multiple people who have gotten that injection. One had a major stroke and is different now. He can't operate on his own. Another person had multiple blood clots, multiple surgeries, and almost died multiple times. I know other people who have died as a result of the vaccination, but they won't tell you those numbers because they're not making money off of you getting a forced vaccine. It's all about money. The reason why the government, the Rockefeller family, was behind pushing, because look at all the news outlets that push for woman suffrage, women to get equal voting rights. If you go and look and see who owned them, it was the Rockefeller family. The reason why women were able to start voting was not because the Rockefeller family felt for their loss of rights and say, oh, well, you know, they should vote too. No, they didn't care about that. It was a selfish reason. It was because they're like, before that time, we could only tax half the population. We couldn't tax the entire population. We can only tax half. Women didn't work. Women didn't vote. And if they voted and if they worked, they can tax. So we wanted to change some laws to give them voting rights and working rights, so that we can start taxing them and getting more money involved in the community to make more money for us. It was a very selfish reason. It had nothing to do with saying women are equal. They just used that as the motivating narrative. So how do you make lots and lots of money for Big Pharma, the people that pay for the campaigns of the politicians telling you to take the vaccine? How do you do that? Well, you put it in a bill. Let's say that the bill is going to be called the anti-hanging bill. Let's just say that that's the title. Like, we're going to say this is the anti-hanging bill. We're going to give it that title. And the main focus of this bill is going to be, you can no longer hang, otherwise as an act of terrorism or hate crime, you're going to get the death penalty as a result. And then you sit there and you get some Republicans or some people on the other side of the aisle that will be like, no, I'm not signing that bill. Because they know what's actually in it. And what's actually in it is, we're going to send $1 billion to one of our friends that contributed to our campaign. Or we're going to give, you know, another $20 billion to Planned Parenthood to continue on with the research. And they funnel money and do all kinds of really shady stuff in those bills. But when they deny it, when these politicians say, I'm not signing that bill, I'm voting against that bill because of these two caveats, then the people that wrote the bill go, oh, you see, this Republican right here, he voted against the anti-hanging bill. He wants people to hang. When in fact, that politician had nothing to do with hanging, which is why he refused to vote in support. He's like, I'm not going to support it because I don't believe that all these people should be getting that kind of money. I believe that it's wrong to hang people. And if you were to make the bill only that, then yeah, I would support it. But that's what politicians do. A lot of these people on Capitol Hill, they give a bill a very, very powerful name that makes you think, because the average American is not going to read these bills. They're just going to listen to what they sell on TV. This is a bill about not hanging anymore. And like, oh, the anti-hanging bill. This is a very important bill. So that, I can't believe this is still legal in America. We definitely need to make this a bill. We need to, you know, put support behind this. That's what the media is going to tell you to do. And then you're like, oh yeah, have you heard about that bill and that Republican who voted against it? Man, see, Republicans definitely want to be racist and they want to hang us. That's immediately the conclusion that people get because they don't do their own research and actually read the bill themselves and see that, oh crap, there's a lot of dark stuff they didn't talk about on the media here. They shouldn't have. Why the heck are they you know, giving this much money to their partners? Why are they putting these new laws like to go digital and cancel your money? Really interesting. More people, if they did the research, would be like, whoa, these people in power are dark. We need to get them out of power. We need to unite so we can get them out of power. But no, NAACP is not doing anything to educate anybody about what's really going on in the world. They're not sitting there and telling people the truth on why DeSantis actually denied this bill. But this, the chairman of the board of the NAACP, Leon W. Russell, is telling people all blacks should boycott Florida. Meanwhile, he lives in Tampa, Florida. Can you spell hypocrisy? All I'm saying is that we are so quick to jump to conclusions without doing the research. Imagine you were charged with a crime. Imagine you had a jury. Imagine if the jury jumped to conclusions against you, like you jumped to conclusions against Trump or jumped to conclusions against other people because of what you've heard, rather than actually hearing both sides and doing the research for yourself to pay attention to the facts of the case. Do you think you would stand a chance to be defended and found not guilty if your jury jumped to conclusions as fast as you do? That's why I have experienced so much racism from my own people when they say I don't talk black, because they have been brainwashed into believing that black people talk ignorantly. And that's what I mean. Blacks talk in lots of different ways, just like whites. You got whites from the bayou who talk a certain way. You got whites from Texas that talk a certain way. I've heard Koreans from Texas talk a certain way. They don't talk like your typical Korean that is from Korea with the Korean accent. I've heard men who were born and raised in China come to America and have a perfect English American dialect with no hint that they're ever out of America. So the way we speak is it depends on the society in which we are raised or the society that we spend the most time. We will adapt and adopt the customs and courtesies of those around us, because we're social beings and we tend to want to fit in. We don't really like to, most of us do not feel comfortable standing out from an entire society unless we completely disagree with what that society is pushing and we want to stand on our own feet and say, nah, I'm not going to support that. So I really encourage everyone, please do your research. Please boycott the NAACP until they start being defenders of truth rather than, you know, pushers of this narrative. Please stop buying into the misrepresentation that black people all talk a certain way. And I really encourage you, please stop using the word African American. It makes us less American than we are. This is the country that we were born in. Our ancestors were brought here just like the white settlers. You can easily sit there and say, "Oh, the white people are European American." Like, they don't call themselves that. They call themselves Americans. We should too. If we were born here, you're American. There's nothing wrong with being American. We're the only country in the world that does that. We're the only country in the world that claims another country as our citizenship. I guarantee you, if you were to go to Africa, for all those people that would go there and say, "Oh, I'm African American," if you were to go to Africa and you get arrested, you're not going to be like, "Hey, let me out. I'm African American." You're going to be like, "Let me out. I'm American. I need to talk to the American embassy." You're not going to say, "I need to speak for the embassy responsible for African Americans." You're going to try to be as American as possible. You're going to be in that jail singing the national anthem, saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You're going to be like singing "God Bless America," trying to find a baseball jersey so you can sit there and with gum and look as American as possible. You're going to do all you can to show you're an American. This is the only country in the world where if you get arrested as a non-citizen, you still have all the rights of a citizen. Other than, you know, the right to stay in America, like they can deport you, of course. But you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to have an attorney present during questioning. You have the right to due process. You have rights against searches and seizures that are unlawful. You have the right to free speech, free press, free assembly, and freedom of religion. You have these rights afforded to you even as a non-American. It's the only country in the world that allows that. And now there are people who are politicians that are pushing for non-citizens to be able to vote. If they do that, as much as I love undocumented immigrants, I love them. I have a very, very solid level of respect in my heart for them. I love how hard they work. I love how much they've contributed to our society and what they do for this country. I'm very grateful for them. I love them dearly. That's not to be politically correct. That's how I honestly feel. Having said that, I do not believe it is fair to all those people who really, really worked hard to legally come to America and go through the naturalization process. Only Americans, lawful Americans, should be able to vote. In fact, I wish there was, you know, a common sense test that was also applied to Americans, because, man, some of the people voting are freaking stupid. Like, my gosh, like, common sense is something they've never heard of. I don't know what the heck happened to our people, but my goodness gracious, there's some dumb people. And then there's some dumb smart people, people who think they're super smart that are dumber than a box of rocks. I'm hearing doctors on TV just talking like they got a second grade education and went to, you know, America Online College or something to get their medical degree. And they're like, oh, I'm a surgeon. Where'd you go to school? Sesame Street. I'm like, oh, great. All right. Well, you're not going to cut me open. Yeah, I know. I have these safety scissors and we can definitely perform the emergency tracheotomy. Like, I have a headache. The heck? Why are you trying to cut me open? Oh, don't worry. I know exactly what I'm doing. And he puts on Mickey Mouse mitts and stuff, and he's got these big, yeah. I've seen some really stupid professionals. So having a doctorate or some type of title doesn't mean anything anymore really these days, because you can get a title from lots of different organizations with no reputation. I don't know. I'm just really frustrated with what's going on right now. So many of us are thinking that, oh, if you like, there's so many members, especially in my own culture, like, oh, if you support Trump, you're a traitor to your own people. You're an Uncle Tom and all this other stuff. I'm like, so you're saying that I have to think a certain way in order to be black? Are you serious? It's the most racist crap I've ever heard. Because white people don't do that. White people don't go, oh, if you think this way, you're not white. Like, no, do they? Or I think everyone does. Let me retract that statement. Everyone does it in every culture. But I have seen, and I could be wrong, maybe it's, I don't see it as much as it actually happens. But from my personal experience, I've seen it and experienced it more at the hands of my culture than any other culture. So that's just my personal experience. With that being said, as always, I'm really grateful for every one of you guys that chose to sit here and listen with me and talk with me. I really appreciate every one of you who were willing to come on and offer some feedback. The whole purpose of my podcast is to have discussions, to talk about different opinions and different views and perspectives, and to remind people that it's okay to have a difference of opinion. I don't criminalize anybody for using the title African American. If that's the title you want to, identify as or use for yourself, hey, power to you. Me personally, I hate when people call me that. I didn't fight for African America. I fought for America. I went to war for America. My history is here. I have a right to American history just as much as any other person does. So I claim America. The politicians do not represent me. The history, the beautiful history of this country, including the scars of bad history, that represents my culture, my people, my America. That's why I defend America. That's why I'm proud to be an American, but ashamed for the people who represent us. But for all of you who are here, thank you so much, because I know you could be anywhere that you want to be, and you chose to be here with me. And thank you for allowing me into your homes, into your hearts, into your houses, your cars, wherever you may be. Thank you for inviting me and allowing me to share this time with you. I hope you guys enjoyed what you heard. Please don't forget to share the icon on my on the app that you see that's flashing with my microphone. That's Real Talk with RJ. That's what my icon looks like for my actual podcast, when you can find lots of other episodes on anywhere podcasts are available. I'm growing the podcast. You can also email me at ross.curtis723@gmail.com. Feel free to use the playback on the Wisdom app, or you can also go out and check my other apps as well, or other platforms for my podcast. And again, thank you so much. I love every one of you guys, and I'm grateful for every one of you guys who are willing to share. And for those of you guys just willing to listen, thank you. Have a great evening. And until next time, this is Real Talk with RJ, signing out.